It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. Now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Hey, it's Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me is 92% always is my co-host.
It's Steven Brown.
And it is the day after Christmas.
This is our year in review.
This is our year in review. This is our third year. So Woo! It's our third year anniversary.
We're older. Is this show older than your second child?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Eat it, Sebastian.
Older than the pregnancy of my second
yeah,
child.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's our, this is, will be our 151st episode. And I don't know if 150, is 150 a
and 150 is a milestone. We didn't cover our 150 anniversary because fucking Star Wars happened and we're respectful.
You gotta cover that.
We put that shit on hold.
Yeah, well, I don't know anything we, how bad would it have been if the week of Star Wars were going, hooray for our podcast.
Yay!
For an hour.
You all love our show more than Star Wars, right?
Our show talks about the things you care about, like us.
Yeah, not Star Wars, the movie everyone's talking about.
No, so this is our year-end review. We were just sitting here. The funny thing is, the last one we did, the last year-end review, was our 100th episode, and we had champagne.
Yes.
And that was 2 years, and now this is our third-year anniversary. And 150, so we're just having wine.
Just wine.
Just wine.
Yeah.
I don't even know where it's from. It's leftover from Christmas.
I don't know anything about wine other than it really gets me drunk.
Well, we're out of it.
That's
so
my experience with wine.
I don't think this is going to be one of those podcasts where you just start yelling and slurring. You're finished.
I finished it.
You actually have an empty glass of wine.
I do.
Next to you.
Yes. Who can say where it'll go from here? But we'll be talking about 2015, we should cover the best and worst of 2015.
It was an odd year. It was a year where it seemed like there was a lot of buildup to big things that ended up being not so big.
Yes.
Like the biggest, I mean, in comics you had Secret Wars, which is still not done.
Jesus.
So that was.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, there might be two more issues.
Yeah, right now.
At least one more, but perhaps two.
Probably are. And then in DC, it was Convergence, and you were like, oh my God, they're going to do both things at once. They're going to change. And nobody remembers Convergence 8 months after it happened.
That would cut to the chase of what I would say would be my biggest comic book disappointment for the year, both as a retailer and as a fan, was Convergence. I couldn't really make sense of. I don't really still know what it's about. I know why they did it. But it didn't, and then they hung me with a lot of shit.
I know financially why they did it.
Yeah. Why is that? Well, that's because they moved their offices, right?
They moved their offices, so they needed the break, and the sales.
So they hired scabs.
And since the new 52 have been flat for the last couple of years. They had that major spike when they came out with all new number ones.
Yep.
And they want that spike every year.
Yeah, I don't know how realistic that is. I'm kind of hoping the companies are going to start settling into a pattern of not relaunching all their titles every year.
I don't know about that.
But I don't think that's coming anymore.
Because
it seems like we're in relaunch. If a book's not relaunching, it's tying into the main event. Those are the only two things books do now.
It seems like books relaunch almost every year because this year with... is it Marvel Now? Is this Marvel
it's
Now
all,
or the last relaunch
it's
Marvel
all,
Now?
Last was Marvel Now. Now it's all new Marvel Now.
All new Marvel Now. All new Marvel over here.
Yeah.
It's going to be next 2016. Hey, look at us. We're Marvel. That's the next banner tagline.
What's the, in Spider-Man 2 where he's like, hey, it's wow, it's now, it's, he signs those things up on the Daily Bugle.
Ted Raimi?
Yeah, Ted Raimi, or Raimi's brother.
Yeah.
That's what Marvel's doing.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's exactly what's happening in the Marvel offices right now. Ted Raimi's pitching the all new.
To J.K. Simmons.
All different, and J.K. Simmons is just looking at him like.
Yeah, because we got all new number ones. And I only read three titles, which now Marvel has made two titles because they canceled Fantastic Four.
Eat a dick, Marvel.
Although, really, in hindsight, knowing what that movie was, maybe that was dodging a bullet.
If you haven't seen it yet?
I have not seen it. I've heard it's now on Blu-ray, but I haven't gotten around to it. I am still of the mind that I will not spend any money on it.
Yeah.
So someone needs to give it to me for free, or it needs to appear on a streaming site for me to see this.
Like on Netflix.
Yeah, have you seen it?
No, somebody was just in the store the other day talking about how awful it was, and I can't remember who it was because I talked to about 200 people a week, but somebody was telling me how that they had finally seen it, you know, a respectable customer who, you know, knows what they're talking about, and was like, it was awful. They're just saying how it's like as bad as you think it'll be. It's that bad. And that might be the biggest comic book bomb this year. Certainly this year.
Oh, certainly this year. Maybe.
Maybe in the last, since like Catwoman.
Or Batman and Robin.
Well, Catwoman was more recent.
Yeah, but Cat.
But Elektra was also around.
But Batman
time.
And Robin, they spent a lot of money to make, which they did with this. It was a $100 million movie. I think Catwoman wasn't that big a movie. Catwoman was like Punisher Warzone kind of money.
Budget.
Yeah.
Wow, this was that big, huh? $100 million.
I mean,
what a stinker.
Yeah, but not good for anyone. So Marvel doesn't publish the Fantastic Four anymore.
It's like a.
But the new number ones, I'm sorting. Amazing Spider-Man and Iron Man, which I still read, I realized the last book got to like 11. Spider-Man got to like 20 because they double shipped Spider-Verse.
Well, it's like Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, I think, is the lowest numerical. Either her or the Howard the Duck book maybe went 6 or 5 issues before it got relaunched into a new number one.
Yeah, but there's no... I know that comics are not about long-term fans anymore, and they shouldn't be. That what they were initially always were they were periodicals that kids would read and throw away and then move on. And that's why they were priced 12 cents and 30 cents. And even when I started, they were under a dollar. So I know that I can't cry that Spider-Man's not at 802, that I don't have one run of Spider-Man.
Right.
But it gets really confusing. So with Iron Man, I left in the Matt Fraction run, which was like three runs ago, because they relaunched that with a number one with Kieran Gillen. Then they relaunched it again as Superior Iron Man. Now they're relaunching it as all new Iron Man with Bendis.
Invincible.
Yeah, Invincible Iron Man. And the tough thing is, if you go back to back issues, like I wanted to fill in those holes. And if you have a number issue number 3 from 2013 and an issue number 3 from 2015... they're going to look the same. It's not like you're pulling out a book from the 80s.
Yeah.
So it's very, very
hard. I mean, he's in the...
hard.
Just about... I mean, the armor's similar enough to where it's confusing.
It's really hard to know where you are if you look backwards.
Yeah.
And it becomes very clear that, of the last few years, that the comics companies are not about looking backwards anymore. They are... When they can't get in new fans, they just appeal to the old fans as much as possible. You know, and they get Stan Lee to write something, and they get John Romita to draw something, or they get everyone to draw a Jack Kirby Fantastic Four comic.
Yeah.
That's when there's no new fans. When there's new fans, it's all going to be
number ones
and relaunches.
And, you know, with all the movies coming out, that's what we're getting. And I don't really care so much the numbers of the issues I'm reading. Just write good stories. And by and large, I got to say, I think this Marvel relaunch of all the new number ones, as opposed to last year's relaunch of all the new number ones, this year's been much, much more successful.
Has it?
I think so.
Sales-wise or creatively with what you're
creatively
reading?
Creatively what I'm reading, I think more so. We're being a little more conservative this time around on our sales, just because it's, you know, you burned me once, Marvel, with, you know, I can't remember what the last number one we had that we were hung with.
That's going to be the banner for 2016. All new Burning Sensation Marvel.
Burning Sensations. Get your itch cream here. But by and large, I'd say the books I'm reading, I mean, just thinking of the books going across, like, the row is like Amazing Spider-Man's good. Black Knight's good. Like, Captain America's good. Daredevil's decent. It's just like Hercules is good. Iron Man is good, even though nothing's happening. Ms. Marvel's great. Thor's great. The Scarlet Witch was great. Who's the other one that's like over in the S's that's got a new number one? It's like an Avenger. Something weird. The Vision's got a good book out right now. It's like X-Men doesn't really have a book out I'm reading, you know, but it's like for the by and large, I'd say the books the Marvel has launched with new number ones are good. I was very surprised.
And that's what it all comes down to, is as much as they push this whole marketing initiative of we're going to have a big crossover that's going to change everything, and then it's going to be all new number ones. It always comes down to the creative team. The thing that was the most successful yeah. in the New 52 was Snyder and Capullo's Batman, because it was really, really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, now they're sunsetting their run.
And I mean, it's interesting that they're the only creative team to stick it out to now. They're the longest running New 52 creative team. Everyone else's book has either been canceled or they shooken up the creative team. I think Geoff Johns is still doing Justice League, but he's not doing with any A-list artist right now. He's had a lot of guys come and go. But other than that, every other book has changed writers at the very least and artists across the board.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that comes close is Tomasi and Gleason did a really long run on Batman and Robin, which was a very underrated book. It was a really good book.
Yeah.
And now Gleason is writing and drawing Robin, Son of Batman, and Tomasi is writing Detective.
Yeah.
So they're both still in the Batman world.
But now we're collaborating on the same book.
Yeah, but and they're not doing that same title. And yeah, it really comes down to who's doing the book and what's the direction going to be. And that's always going to be a toss-up. You're never going to get a slate of all really good books.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the early 80s when Jim Shooter was running Marvel and you had the most classic runs ever. You had Chris Claremont on the X-Men and Frank Miller on Daredevil and Walt Simonson on Thor and John Byrne on Fantastic Four and Roger Stern on Amazing Spider-Man. You still had Marvel team up and,
yeah.
you know, and Avengers wasn't great in the early 80s.
I mean, Star Fox, you know.
Exactly.
It had some cool stuff going on.
Yeah, you had Defenders with Beast and Iceman in it.
Yeah.
You know, Power Man and Iron Fist. You had books that weren't up to that level. You're never going to have every book your A-list book. That's
yeah.
not going to happen.
That's impossible.
Yeah, and what you're always going to have are your A-list characters, and what you hope is your A-list characters will attract your A-list talent. And it usually happens. Most really good guys want to do Batman and Spider-Man.
Yeah, I don't really know, since really Hush, they haven't really had any like bad eggs on Batman.
Well, you know, some of the side books haven't been great.
Well, I guess on the monthly like
but, yeah,
Batman title.
Batman, it's been rocky.
Yeah.
Broken
City wasn't very good.
Broken City wasn't that great. They let Tony Daniels write his own stuff after
yeah.
Grant Morrison left Batman to start Batman and Robin. Those books do get cheeky, which is always why as a collector I'm like, really, do I have to have no holes?
Yeah.
But
Shouldn't there be an exception?
No.
For Brian Azzarello.
There's an exception for like Justice League, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I don't need the last three launches of Justice League.
Justice League United.
Yeah, Justice League Dark. Justice League of America. I have like Jim Lee's run on Justice League, and then I was out from the New 52. I haven't bought a Justice League in 3 years, but I've got runs going back to the early 70s.
Yeah.
When it comes to Batman and Spider-Man and Fantastic Four and Iron Man,
you can't let it go. Well, at least right now, you don't have to worry about Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I'm actually grateful. Because I'd rather not have to buy a Fantastic Four book than buy a mediocre one because I don't want a hole in my run.
Do we think Marvel is thinking like, all right, well, when we get the rights back, we're going to launch the Fantastic Four book and make it our best-selling book? Are they like just waiting to just unleash the A-team on that book,
yes.
whoever the A-team might
yes.
be?
I am sure that book is so beloved that there's a lot of guys that haven't had a crack at it that want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, John Romita Jr. has never drawn. I mean, he's at DC now, but John Romita Jr. has never drawn the Fantastic Four monthly.
Yeah,
and I'm sure there's Kurt Busiek has never written the Fantastic Four as a monthly.
Yeah,
you know, there's really some like amazing A-list talent. Dan Slott could do a great Fantastic Four, and he probably would want to.
Yeah.
I think it's a matter of Marvel wanting to do that book again, and I think the talent will line up for it. They're not going to launch that book again with some newcomers.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, they're definitely, it's not like Nick Fury, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Where it's just like, people like them. People like that Starenko run.
Yeah.
Let's do it again. Oh, nobody read it?
No. Still no one's reading Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, because Fantastic Four wasn't their worst selling title. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure it was beating titles that stayed alive.
Right.
But yeah, but that's been kind of the comics. And I think continuing that theme into the movies, because honestly, in this modern age, we have to talk about movies and comics. We can't just talk about comics.
Because so many of the movies are based on comics.
Right. I feel like 2015 was the year where, like, comic films started a coast. I think we got we got a decent Avengers 2, which everyone plus Disney thought was going to be the second coming.
Yeah.
In many, many ways. You know, there's a reason why Star Wars is out now at Christmas and Avengers was out in the summer.
Yeah, they're both Disney films. As far away from each other as possible.
Yeah, had they known what they know now, I think Avengers would have come out at Christmas.
And Star Wars would have been their May movie.
Yeah, and they would have figured out where to put an Ant-Man because Falcon's in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I felt like we got a solid Age of Ultron. I don't have any problems with it, but it's not the best. It loses me a little when I watch the Blu-ray. And we got a fun Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Which is more than we
Ant-Man,
thought.
Ant-Man, I think, was kind of in the vein Ant-Man. Of Guardians of the Galaxy, where it's kind of a surprise hit because you don't really expect them to do that good a movie with but Ant-Man.
But it's not the hit that Guardians of the Galaxy was.
Right.
It was like people.
Well, it didn't have that. Guardians kind of has that ability to be, hey, we've got a raccoon, so the kids like it. We've got the talking trees, so people who like talking trees got it. You got the guy, you got the girl, you got the big guy. And I think it's something where...
You got the guy, you got the girl, you got the big guy.
Yeah, the dress.
That's your pitch.
Yeah, that's it. But I think that had a little bit more in it for everybody, where I think Ant-Man was good, but it wasn't as big a movie as Guardians. But well, I think it's still a surprisingly hit, considering Ant-Man.
Right, and you know, it was good. I thought it was really fun, and I enjoyed it. I bought the Blu-ray, and I watched it another 2 times or so. So I've seen it about 3 times. I really enjoyed it every time. I've always been a big fan of Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
And I wanted him to not be the sidekick anymore. And I'm like, this guy obviously can carry a big movie. Let him do it. But I think to the wider audience, the people who are not us, who are not comic fans, they're like, okay, another superhero. And yeah, it's another superhero origin story.
Yeah.
And I think the casual moviegoers at the point was like, okay, we're doing this again. So the two biggest movies that we had this year were sci-fi movies that were not superheroes. I mean, they were Jurassic World and Star Wars.
Yeah.
Which, again, were old franchises coming back.
Yeah, it's... Interstellar was this year?
No, Interstellar was last year.
Oh. Was the Sandra Bullock Lost in Space movie this year?
Gravity?
Yeah.
No.
That was last year,
that
too?
That was 2013.
So was there not one original sci-fi movie this year that was like a big hit?
Not a big hit, no. I watched Ex Machina.
How'd you like it?
I thought it was really interesting, but it's definitely an indie movie.
Yeah. Oh, it's for sure. I loved it. And I think that's an indie movie for sure.
It was like, did you ever see Moon?
Yes, Moon with Sam Rockwell. Yeah. I love that movie.
It was at that level where it's like, you're never going to hear about this movie unless somebody you know
sees it and tells you to watch it.
Yeah, and it's on Amazon. Ex Machina is on Amazon Prime right now. And,
check it out, folks.
And I was sick of watching Christmas movies.
Yeah.
And Renee was like last minute Christmas shopping, so I was like, oh, I'll put this on. Yeah, and I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And the two guys in it are both in Star Wars.
What?
Oscar Isaac and Domhnall Gleeson.
Wait, all right, Oscar Isaac is in Star Wars?
Oscar Isaac is Poe Dameron in Star Wars.
Who's Poe Dameron? I don't know.
The X-Wing pilot.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, and who's the other guy?
The main guy, the redheaded guy, is like the main Imperial officer.
Is he really?
Yeah.
That was him?
Yeah, that was him.
What?
General Hux?
Sure.
Yeah.
100%?
Yeah. Because he was one of the Weasleys in Harry Potter.
No, I don't think he was.
He was.
Was he?
Getting the iPad.
All right, we're going to IMDb this. Yeah, Ex Machina was good. That was kind of like my go-to
that was this year.
Indie film this year.
Yeah, it was your sci-fi indie film. And, you know, we're at a point now where even indie films have to have a big special effects budget.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And the effects, I think, in that were really good. I think, you know, the big super movies were, well, the ones they did this year were Days of Future Past, right? That was this year?
Nope.
God damn it. Really?
No. The Rogue Cut came out this year.
Days of Future Past was last year.
That was last year, yeah.
So it was Avengers, Ant-Man, and Fantastic Four. That's all we got this year?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, and lots of trailers for Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
Lots and lots
of
trailers.
Well, Avengers was for sure the best superhero movie this year.
Yeah, and still it was a solid B.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I talked about it on the show, but I listened to Joss Whedon's commentary.
Yes, I recently listened to it as well. He sounds very defeated.
He's depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that was probably my favorite movie of the year, because it kind of was made just for me, almost. It had everything.
Well, it wasn't made for Joss Whedon.
No, it wasn't. But they had everything in it that I would have wanted them to do. Not everything I think they could have done, but... you gotta appreciate what they achieved with it. Looking at the hot mess behind the scenes that it was.
Yeah, I think we were trying to do. I think it was trying to do too much.
Yeah.
Oh, we also had Spectre this year, which was bleh.
That was a really big disappointment. That was that wins category for most disappointing movie this year is Spectre.
I know, because Skyfall was so.
I
great
wanted it to be
that I was
so much more than it was.
Yeah, I was so excited for it, and it was just like, it was that feeling. You know, we have made it a practice, as I like to call it, the Star Trek Into Darkness incident. There's a feeling that when you've paid for a movie and you've been waiting for it for weeks and it's attached to a franchise that you care about.
Yes.
It's very hard for you to be disappointed in that room. It's usually.
Yeah.
Usually you're like, yeah, that was fun. I got to see those characters again and I got to see that style of movie again. And you're okay with it.
And then like later you're like, that was a piece of shit.
Yeah, Spectre, I was like, while I was watching it, I was like, this isn't good.
Yeah, I remember watching Spectre, I saw it in theaters and being kind of, I don't know if confused is the right word, but definitely was not digging Spectre. And then even Star Wars, I think, we talked a little bit about it on the show, I definitely liked it. It was definitely a good movie, it kind of brings it back, it feels the most like a Star Wars movie out of that and the prequels, but I don't know if the hype was too big or what it was, but I think it was something where I was like, it wasn't phenomenal. Like, it was good.
Right. It was good.
But
yeah,
it wasn't the blow-my-mind movie experience I think I had let it build itself up to.
Yeah, and as I said last week, my expectations were so low because I was like the lone dissenting voice in all the hype going like, the prequels were bad.
Yeah.
Star Wars has been bad for a while. And I liked it. And I had a conversation with a friend of mine a couple of days ago who didn't like it and pointed out a lot of J.J. Abrams' style.
Uh-huh.
And it was great. I wish that conversation would have taken place on the show because he was like, because everything he didn't like about it, he also traced back to Star Trek.
So it wasn't just like the guy being like, I hate it because everyone likes it.
No, he was like, he's like, I think I don't like J.J. Abrams because he did this thing I don't like. And yeah, he did it in Star Wars and Star Trek and
he's
Super 8.
He's done it more than
Mission
once.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I definitely had that feeling about it. And I still have a problem with, and no one's been able to explain, like, how does the world work? Like, why is there a Republic and a Resistance at First Order? I've talked to a lot of people about it. Nobody has a clear idea. Which
yeah.
Is, you know, and people are saying, oh, wait for, you know, the Star Wars Rogue Squadron. But then other people are telling me, no, Rogue Squadron is a prequel to A New Hope. And it's about the X-Wing band that gets the tapes to deliver them to Princess Leia.
Oh, really?
So I don't even know.
Yeah, because somebody was saying that in A New Hope, they're like, oh, they'll follow the guy from Ex Machina around flying an X-Wing. And it's like, no, it's not going to be about him. It's going to introduce an entirely new group of characters that guy won't even be in. That it'll take place with a whole new group of characters that are like X-Wing pilots, you know, in a different part of space doing their own thing.
Right. Oh, and by the way, Domhnall Gleeson.
That's the guy from Ex Machina?
Known for Ex Machina, Star Wars, Harry Potter.
Who's he in Harry Potter? Which
Bill Weasley?
Oh, I don't know that one. Was he the same guy in the movie?
I think he was one of the twins.
Oh, that would be George or Fred.
I don't know. Oh, okay. See, I've read the books once and I've seen the movies once, so I just don't have the depth of Harry Potter knowledge. He's also in Dread.
Oh, who's he in Dread?
He's the clan techie in Dread. I think he was the guy like running the computers in that building.
Oh yeah, he was. Was he in a movie?
Ex Machina was like Dread. Dread was great.
Yeah, and I would say it was. Yeah, it's worth seeing if you haven't. But it was like a sci-fi roller coaster, emotional mind fuck.
He was in the Coen Brothers' True Grit.
I didn't see. Well, I guess I did see that. Oh, that was good. With what's
Jeff
that?
Bridges.
Yeah, I was bored by that movie.
Oh, I
didn't
movie.
Understand.
Yeah, but I felt like, you know, we were hyped for Age of Ultron, and then we were like, well, this is a bit of a confusing mess that is mostly setting up the next movie.
Yeah.
And giving us Scarlet Witch and Vision.
And Quicksilver briefly.
Quicksilver, and then he's out. Wait a minute, was... No, Days of Future Past was definitely first, because I remember at Days of Future Past going like, well, how, what's Joss Whedon going to do? Because,
yeah,
you know, because Quicksilver completely stole this movie.
Yeah. And I guess he's going to be in the next one, they said.
Yeah, he is. He's in the trailer for Apocalypse.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer. The trailer was online, but they also showed the trailer before Star Wars, and there's a very, very clear shot of him. He's obviously in it again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I felt like we went in like, this is going to be the biggest thing in the world, and then both Avengers and Star Wars.
Kind of.
That we were like, all right, and Jurassic World was not hyped as much, and people went, I still don't know why people went so insane
for it. I was talking with my mom about it, and she said the same thing. She's like, well, what was the biggest movie this year? I'm like, well, Jurassic World.
Well, now it's Star Wars. Star Wars has beaten Jurassic
World.
Star Wars
did beat Jurassic World, and that's what I told her, and she was like, well, why was Jurassic World so big? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it was good, it was entertaining, but it's like, highest grossing movie of all time for the 6 months before Star Wars came out? I don't.
Yeah, and bigger than Age of Ultron.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't get it either, because I didn't see it in the theater, and I ended up buying it on Blu-ray and watched it. I was like, huh. Although I mostly had our podcast ringing in your head about the Dinosaur Buddy Cop movie.
I want that movie so bad. He puts a little light on his head.
Like two Chewbaccas. Yeah. That's all I could think at the end of the movie, which I would say ruined it, but
it
was going to be.
Because then the big dinosaur that's like a fish is like the desk sergeant who sits at a desk and just yells at him. Hey, get back out there, you two prehistoric rookies.
And I said, buy the book.
Buy the book. I mean, buy the book.
Yeah, so then... So that's comics.
So it was like, it seems like 2015 was like underwhelming. Like, it wasn't a bad year.
No.
Like, I remember 2014, maybe we weren't so happy with.
There were some big things in 2014.
So we think 2015 underperformed.
2014 was the year of Guardians of the Galaxy.
No.
That was the big thing. Where we're like, we were all set up for.
And Infinity. That was good.
Oh, I didn't read Infinity.
Oh, you missed out.
Going back to comics.
Oh, and you know what? Forever Evil was that year, too. That was a better story.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about it. It hasn't aired yet, but we did a thing about on crossovers, and we talked about how Forever Evil was like the last really good crossover, and it was.
Yeah, it was excellent.
Yeah, it's very, very hard to do those things. Yeah, I felt like maybe, other than Star Wars, maybe this is the year we're just marking time. Because now I'm going to TV, and TV was all... kind of the same. Like, what was the big... I mean, we got Supergirl this year, and everybody watched the pilot and then stopped talking about it.
Yeah. Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones was not quite Daredevil. Although we did get Daredevil in the spring of 2015.
The beginning of this year.
That was incredible. That was probably the best superhero show we've ever gotten.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, we had things continuing. I mean, Arrow was Arrow. Gotham was Gotham.
Flash.
You know, Flash was Flash. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Constantine was canceled.
Constantine got burned.
Yeah, although now I like Ash versus Evil Dead way more than I liked Constantine, so I kind of feel okay with it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, there's my quirky little horror show that worked. And Ash versus Evil Dead might be my favorite show of the year. Unless you count Key and Peele, which ended this year.
Yeah, that's another thing. We had a lot of endings. Jon Stewart left The Daily Show.
Right, and we talked about that. David Letterman left.
Letterman.
We did a whole show on David Letterman. We talked to Keith Alberstadt, who appeared on the show twice. That was a major sea change. And maybe that's what it is about this year.
A watershed year.
We have a lot of people leaving, but what's replaced them hasn't exploded. I mean, Letterman left, and that was a big moment. And Stephen Colbert comes on, and Colbert's been great, but it hasn't exploded in that way. You know, James Corbin took over the 12 to 30 show after Craig Ferguson. It's like, okay.
Yeah. You replaced the guy no one really cared about with another guy no one really cares about.
Except this one's British.
Yeah.
You know, and Trevor Noah is solid on...
But he's not Jon Stewart.
Show. Yeah, but it hasn't been...
And that's the thing is, I think as far as those two specific guys replacing the specific guys they replaced... you're following some pretty iconic guys, you know, but then didn't they say that about Letterman when he first replaced Carson, right?
Well, he followed Carson and he was in a slot. He really replaced Tom Snyder. He was in a slot that nobody was doing that kind of a show. So he was like Conan. Conan replaced Letterman and nobody thought Conan was going to make it.
Right.
And then Conan ended up lasting. And you know what? I think that's what it is about this year, is that everything that happened is like, hey, no one has said to me about anything, you gotta see this.
Yeah.
I mean, even with Star Wars, it was just so expected. The hype had built to such a level
yeah.
that people were like, well, did you see it yet?
Right. And that's, yeah, that's the question. It's not, are you going to see it? It's, did you see it?
Right.
Yet?
And
because
this
everyone
last,
expects you
and
to
this
see
last
it.
Week has just been about people wanting to talk spoilers, but not wanting to ruin things. Because, you know, we're, and you know what? This is not the show where we talk Star Wars spoilers, so we're not going to. We did that last week, and there's
right.
a warning on that show, so we're not going to tell you the end of Star Wars now.
I would also say that this, specifically about Star Wars, is the internet should get like some kind of prize for not spoiling Star Wars to the extent that it could have.
That was amazing.
And I was very surprised. It was like a bunch of children policing themselves and not eating all the candy. It's like I couldn't believe that everyone on the internet kind of stayed away from spoiling Star Wars. Not yeah. my window washer, but everyone else did.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, I can't, yeah, I can't police myself. I can't leave a box of lemon heads out.
Right.
much
without eating all of them.
Yeah. You've had dinner with my children. They're not policing anything.
No.
No, they're just talking about Nightwing.
Right. Screaming it at you repeatedly.
Yeah. And, oh, and that's another thing. It almost seems off topic, but continuing on our theme of, there just seemed a lot of this year of like everybody waiting for the big thing happened and everybody went, oh, okay. Like, I think people are still on a Star Wars high, but other than that, like, Age of Ultron, Spectre.
Yeah.
And another big thing was the video game Batman Arkham Knight, which I finally got for Christmas because I had to buy a new console. I was still on my Xbox 360. So we got a PlayStation 4 and we got Batman Arkham Knight. So I finally got a chance to play it after 6 months of it being out.
Yeah.
And everybody was going insane over these movies because we've talked about the Batman Arkham games on multiple shows on this. These have been the best superhero video games that anyone has ever made. And it's like, it's the only time where I really feel like it's an immersive experience where I feel like I'm Batman in Gotham City. And I feel like I'm doing the things Batman does.
Yeah.
I get to explore this world. And so this game was supposed to come out in 2014 and it got delayed because it wasn't ready yet. And the last game we had was Batman Arkham Origins. That was in 2013, which was not made by Rocksteady, the same studio. Warner Brothers farmed it out to a lesser studio, and it's a lesser game.
Yeah, and it shows, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Like, the first half of it is actually really fun, and then it just gets repetitive and dull.
Right.
So everybody was waiting for this thing to be, like, the be-all and end-all. And when now that I played it, I kind of agree with everyone I talk to about it, is that it's the Dark Knight Rises of Batman video games.
Yeah.
Where you're like, it's good, but it's not as good as the last one. The
right.
last one was Arkham City was the Dark Knight of video games.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, oh my God, this is incredible. And then you're expecting this thing to top it. And for some reason in this game, and I've yelled at this game most of Christmas Day and today,
yeah.
is that since it's next generation, the city is beautiful. Like, you can see miles of the city. Like, when you're like swinging over the buildings and using your grappling hook, you can see all this texture. And
yeah.
they've improved a lot of the functionality of like a lot of the ways you fight and the ways you do detective work and the ways you observe a situation are similar to what they were in the other games, but improved. But then there's the Batmobile.
Yeah, this is like the big thing they were building up to. It was like the mechanic they were most proud to brag about.
They were so proud that they added the Batmobile to the game, and the Batmobile sucks.
Yeah, that's what I've
heard.
And
not only does the Batmobile suck, but they were so excited about it that it's half the freaking game.
Yeah.
Where it's like, there were a bunch of times where they said, oh, the Scarecrow's in that building. You got to go get the Scarecrow. And then I start swinging along, and I get there. And then Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, goes, I need the Batmobile for this. And I'm like, now I gotta go get this stupid freaking Batmobile. And the Batmobile is, there's two things to the Batmobile, besides it being overused.
Yeah.
Is, by putting the Batmobile in this game, they made it a shitty driving game.
Yeah.
Which,
because it's not really a game built for driving. It's a game built for running around and punching.
And the thing about shitty driving games that drive me crazy is they have no traction. So, like, the car just slides all over the goddamn place and crashes into things and,
yeah,
you know, fishtails into stuff because you're going 80 miles an hour and then you turn hard and it just spins out.
Right.
So it does that. And then, I don't even know why they do this, but when you get into fights with the Batmobile, there's a militia that's taken over Gotham City, and I don't know who they are because I'm not that far in the game, but they have tanks.
Yeah.
They're driving around with tanks, and they shoot you with the tanks. So then you switch the Batmobile into tank mode, and then you have tank fights.
Ugh.
So, like, Batman's got a cannon on top of the Batmobile, and he's shooting other tanks with it.
With, like, a gun?
With a cannon.
But, like, boom, explosion.
Yes!
It's not like a gas cannon.
Blowing up tanks.
Yeah.
And killing. Every now and then, the Kevin Conroy voice goes, "These tanks are all drones. That means I can let go." Because, you know, the only thing holding Batman back from using guns
is
people.
Yeah, is that whether or not people will get killed.
But that's always a problem with Batman. I mean, the Tim Burton movie had machine guns and missiles. And it's like they always want to put weapons on the car. And it's like, this is a guy that doesn't use guns.
Right. You guys keep forgetting that. And that's the trick. It's so like annoying. The Batmobile is like, it's cool. No one's going to argue the Batmobile is not cool. But it doesn't have to be shoehorned into a video game. If it makes sense, maybe do one level with the Batmobile all the time. No.
Yeah. And that's one of the things. I am not a car guy. I mean, I drove to work every day for 2 years. Didn't care. Just cared that the car wouldn't break down.
That's all.
Cared about that the car wouldn't break down and hated everyone else on the road. That was two years.
That's the extent of cars. Yeah.
Now I'm back taking the train into the city and I couldn't be happier.
I love it.
Oh, I can read comics for 20 minutes.
Yep.
And then walk and get exercise. And I don't miss a car at all. So like there is. Car guys that like Batman get super into the Batmobile. And there is that audience. I just don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like on my shelf now, I have two Batmobiles, and I feel like that's too many.
Like there should just be one iconic Batmobile.
Like I don't need that many Batmobiles.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's the animated series, and it's the Adam West, and if they ever made like a Tim Burton one in that scale, I'd probably buy it. But like, I don't want to have a bunch of cars. And there's people that care, and I guess they're excited about it. But
yeah.
Then they're also not excited that it's not a good car. It also doesn't look like anything.
I assume it's very Tumblr-esque.
It actually looks a lot like Batman versus Superman Batmobile. Like that.
Oh, I wonder if that's deliberate.
Like kind of low and tanky.
Yeah.
And
I don't really like those looks.
So that's another thing. I'm enjoying it. And Kevin Ryan, who was on our Star Wars podcast last week, had already played it, and he told me to get the season pass. So luckily the season pass was on sale for Christmas. So if you hear this the day it comes out, it's still on sale for like $20.
Get it.
And it was like 7 more games, but it's like a Harley game and a Robin game and a Nightwing game and a Catwoman game and a Batgirl game and a Red Hood game. Which is really cool. And then there's like 30 costumes. There was about an hour today where we just put the Adam West costume on Batman Arkham Knight. And beat the living hell out of everyone.
And like
we
you
saw.
Said, it's probably pretty scary because it's like, it's the same Batman.
He's still huge.
Yeah.
But he's clearly in tights.
Right. And he looks like a crazy person. more so than Batman normally looks.
Yeah. In armor, you think that he put some forethought into it.
Right.
But the fact that this guy's going out in the street in like satin.
Yeah. And I mean like. It's pretty much a big blue diaper he's wearing. Yeah, he's pretty much wearing a giant, like, satin diaper.
And the cape is very, very shiny
and
blue.
Yeah, it's velvety, you know.
But also the great thing, I'll actually pull this up before you go just to show you on screen. Because it's the Adam West suit, they painted in the angry eyebrows.
So he has the eyebrows in.
But he's really angry.
Yeah.
So it's almost like he wasn't angry enough, so he painted an angry eyebrow.
To let the scum know.
Like Mr. Potato Head in Toy Story.
Don't forget your angry eyes.
So that's fun. So the actual Batman stuff is fun, but the Batmobile almost ruins it.
Yeah.
And
it's like every time there's a Batmobile episode or level, you're just like, no.
The first Lego game, the Batmobile levels are the worst.
Yeah. And like you said, it's just like a thing about the mechanics in the game where it's like they just haven't figured out how... to make it work to where it's fun, I guess.
I don't know. You know? I mean, there's good driving games out there, but that's all they are.
Yeah, you don't ever get out of those cars and run around. Like Grand Theft Auto, it's like, it's not really fun to run around. You kind of need a car to drive around and do all the things.
I've never played Grand Theft Auto. Is it a decent driving game? Or?
Yeah, it's basically a drive around the city and shoot things and run away from the cops.
Get out just to shoot things and then back in the car.
Yeah.
I think I might have played it once. I'm going to play
it. It's worth playing once. Yeah. I got it out of my system at a young age, and it was like, all right, I get that game. And then they've just remade it 100 times.
I was not at a young age when that game came
out.
Yeah.
Now you can get, like, helicopters.
I'm also not a very serious gamer, so I tend to set things on easy and leave the IGN walkthrough up.
Yeah.
So I just play games that are things I really care about. Like, I'm kind of interested in Star Wars Battlefronts now.
Yeah. All the guys at the store are playing it. They say it's awesome.
Yeah. And it's like, I'd like a really good Star Wars game, especially now that I like the new movie, that I feel like I've come back. That's why I play the Batman Arkham game. I was really into Lego games, but I kind of burned out on them last year.
Yeah.
Last Christmas, we got the Lego Hobbit and the Lego Movie and Lego Batman 3. And all of them were kind of dull.
Yeah. And then I got that, like, Avengers game out. It's like Avengers 1 and 2 for Lego.
Yeah, I've already played the Marvel, Lego Marvel, and it's like, You know, in fact, we got Lego Dimensions this year, and we were all excited about it. And then the first level was like, oh, yeah, it's this Lego game. You're just putting guys on the thing.
Yeah. It's like every time they remake, like, a Modern Warfare Call of Duty, it's like, well, it's the exact same game. You get a gun and you shoot the bad guys. How much different can it be? You know, it's like, you're a Lego guy and you build other Lego guys and you take Lego guys apart and build up a Lego wall and tear the wall down.
Yeah. I mean, Batman is kind of like that, but it's Batman.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally have 40 years of Batman stories in my house.
Right.
There have been 75 years of Batman stories. So obviously, people don't get tired of that story that fast.
Right. And I think that's what it is it's, you know, you're getting it more as a Batman fan than a Lego fan. You know?
And I wish there was a Spider-Man game that was as good as these games, because they keep getting close and then they always make a weird right turn with it. It's like, they've done a lot of Spider-Verse type games.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, oh, hey, you're Peter Parker. Oh, but now you're Ben Reilly, and now you're Venom, and now you're in your Spider-Man Noir, and now you're 2099. And it's like, why don't I just be Spider-Man?
Yeah, what's wrong with just being Spider-Man?
What's wrong with being Spider-Man and fighting 20 of his villains in one game in a realistic New York.
Yeah, and that's what they've had as, you know, the movie games did a little bit of it where it's kind of like the free roam, you could run around, but they haven't really made any other superhero games quite on the level of those Batman Arkham games where it's like, what would it really be like to be Batman? That game showed you. What's the game that's really going to show us what to, like, how is there not a good Iron Man game? How is there not a good Avengers game or a good Spider-Man game or a good X-Men?
Iron Man 2 was a terrible game.
They're awful. I played the Hulk game. It was terrible. It's like every one of those movie games is like, the Spider-Man movie games are okay. But every other one, it's like they either they fall apart and they never get made, or they're just terrible.
And it's interesting. And I just feel like everything we've said about this, and maybe it's the mood we're in right now, or maybe it's just the way the conversation is going, But again, 2015 was a year of like, oh, the next thing in this franchise is going to be amazing. And then you just go, oh, it's the same old thing. It's a little tired. But then the two things we pointed to of being huge were an old franchise that just took time off.
And not
like
only
I said,
that.
We didn't get that original thing out of there that came out of nowhere and took over.
Well, it's like
not in comics, not in television. Not in movies. Not in video games.
And even the movies we talked about, like Avengers Age of Ultron, it's like, oh, this is going to be really big. It's going to be the next big thing. And then you watch and you're like, oh, okay, Captain America Civil War is going to be the next big thing. Same thing. You go see Star Wars and it's like, oh, this is going to be the hugest thing ever. And it's like, oh, it's really kind of setting up for the next Star Wars movie. It's going to be so huge. It's going to be the next big thing. It's like you're constantly, they're just passing the ball on almost indefinitely, because they want to just see how many of these movies they can keep making.
Right. And, you know, like, Doctor Who this season was really good, but it was like Capaldi's second season, so it didn't have that newness. And now he's saying in interviews, maybe the next one's my last, which I think.
And isn't he the last Doctor?
No.
No, they
tweaked the origin so they can regenerate him. Definitely, he got like this burst of regen energy.
All right.
And they even mentioned it. The Christmas special was last night, and they brought River Song back, who was, you know, who was in the 11th Doctor a lot. And she's like, aren't you supposed to be out of these regenerations? He's like, we changed those.
Yeah.
But again, it was really good. And he's thinking being done. And I think it's like 3 years is all you get out of a Doctor Who now.
Yeah.
Because I think they only do 13 episodes a year, but it takes weeks to make those things. Because they really look like movies. It's like, There's a level of those effects which is way beyond The Flash or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, they're not pumping out a weekly show. And I think those guys just get burned out.
Yeah, it's a lot to do.
Yeah, so again, it was like this season was really good, but it was like, all right, I feel like there was... It's funny because, you know, since we started the show, we've had Greatest Thing in the World this week.
Yeah.
And I feel like this year doesn't have a greatest thing in the world this week.
Daredevil.
Yeah.
I would say Daredevil's probably the one thing where I had a lot of hope going into it, really thought it was going to do well, and was surprised and was overwhelmingly, I think it was something where I was like, that was probably lived up to the hype. Everyone had said how good it was, really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Everything else was kind of like good, but it wasn't really, nothing really exceeded my expectations this year.
Other than Fantastic Four, there wasn't a lot of
true bombs.
Train wrecks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, a lot of things were pretty good, you know? I just saw F is for Family last week, and it was pretty good.
What is it?
It's a new Netflix animated show that Bill Burr does.
Oh, I saw that. I didn't watch it because I assumed it'd be adult. Rated.
Oh, yeah, it's like beyond Adult Swim. There's a lot of F-bombs in it.
Yeah.
It's like a really filthy King of the Hill. But I love Bill Burr.
Yeah,
like, he's one of my favorite comedians, and I was watching the show, and then I was watching his specials again. I really think he's the next Louis C.K.
You think so?
I think he's the next guy. He's so powerful right now.
Yeah.
And he just kind of needs to do that thing that gets people to notice him. I don't think this is it. This is like a 6-episode thing on Netflix.
Yeah.
But again, I was like, Bill Burr has an animated show. Wow, that must be good. It's pretty good. But you're right. Daredevil was, I didn't even have time for the hype because the day it came out, I did 3 episodes.
Yeah.
And I was like up till 2 a.m. watching it. And I was like, I was blown away. And Daredevil has always been a B-list character for me.
Yeah.
I was into the book for a little while and then dropped it, never really looked back.
It has to have a good creative team or it doesn't work.
Yeah, and I've come back for the creative teams and I've gone back and read. You know, I've read Bendis and Brubaker and Mark Waid and it still doesn't make me care about Daredevil, you know? And this, I felt like, oh, this managed to do everything that was great about that show and bring it to life. However, that being said, then 6 months later, they did that again as Jessica Jones, and I was like, like, again, pretty good.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, same thing. It's like, it's pretty good, but it's not as good as Daredevil. It's, you know, I had more problems with this show than I think I had with Daredevil, though I'd like to rewatch Daredevil to kind of confirm that thought process, but yeah, it was something where I think this year was just kind of like, nothing terrible. Like I said, we didn't really watch Fantastic Four, so how much can you count it? You can't really count Secret Wars because it hasn't ended yet.
Right.
You know, so it's hard to point to like one thing to say this was the kind of the best thing that we got this year. And I think it is, I'd have to say it would be Daredevil.
I think so. Because, you know, I remember I was talking to you in the shop a couple months ago and I realized I don't have a favorite comic anymore.
Yeah.
I like all the books I'm reading, which I've been reading for years, Dan Slott's Spider-Man, and now Bendis' Iron Man, and Capullo and Snyder's Batman, and then a bunch of the other Batman side books. They're all, again, pretty good.
Yeah.
But not, like, 3 years ago, I was in love with Snyder and Capullo's
Batman. They were doing
a
great job, yeah.
They were doing an incredible job. And I remember C2E2, I tend to skip Saturday. Like,
I do the whole thing.
You work.
Yeah, I'm always working.
But, like,
weekend.
You usually get me a pass if I don't get a pass from somewhere else, so I could go for free if I want to. And I always skip because of the crowds. And 2 years ago, I looked, and I was looking at the schedule, and it ended up being a quiet day at home, and I saw Dan Slott on the Spider-Man panel, and then an hour later, Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo doing the Batman panel. And I jumped in the car and drove in.
Yeah.
Went to those two panels. Walked the floor a little bit, did a little bit of shopping, and went home.
Yeah.
And I was so glad I did that. And now today, I'm like, yeah. I think I like Amazing Spider-Man a little less than you do.
Yeah, I still definitely like Amazing Spider-Man. I think my two go-to books are Mighty Thor and Ms. Marvel. Are both the same creative teams they were before the relaunch, but after the Marvel Point One, or whatever it was, or Marvel Now. And the Ms. Marvel book has been good since it came out with the new girls, like the new Ms. Marvel, like the kid. That's been phenomenal. And ever since Thor got relaunched with the female Thor, it's been phenomenal. Those are like the two books where every month when they come out, or every week, I guess, they're my two favorite books to read. And a lot of the Star Wars books, I'd say, because those are coming up in about a year. So I think those may be late 2014, early 2015.
I remember that number one around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so I think they've been a little over a year. Those have mostly been good. But yeah, nothing. I wouldn't say any one of the books is the book where I'm trying to think of a book that was like the equivalent to it. I've been much more excited about like the hardcovers coming out or the trades that came out. It was like, oh, I get to reread Kurt Busiek's and George Perez's two volumes of Avengers came out this year. So it was right. Like those were things I got to reread this year.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with Steranko's Nick Fury.
Steranko's Nick Fury I got. Yeah, it's like that stuff. It's like the stuff I've either already read or I know it's good.
And see, my problem with that is looking at my omnibuses, they've done most of what I wanted. Because, yeah, I know, you know, the Kirby, this Lily Kirby Fantastic Fours and the Ditko Spider-Mans, those have been out for a while, and they've been out in multiple formats. But the last couple of years, we got the John Byrne Fantastic Four and the Michelinie Leighton Iron Man and the Roger Stern Spider-Man. Again, all of those things from those early 80s, that Jim Shooter era. That I've just loved. We got those.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm getting to the point where I'm looking at my omnibus and I'm like, what
else
is
left?
Yeah. I mean, we're going to get another volume of Captain America next year. We're going to get another volume of X-Men. And it's like, good. The series that I'm following, whether they're hardcovers or monthlies or action figures, my biggest purchases this year were the Bruce Timm animated figures, which have been great, but they started in 2014.
Yeah.
And the Capullo Batman figures did like one wave this year. And then Marvel Legends has been Marvel Legends for a few years, where it's like, I'm like, oh, these are all really good, solid figures.
Yeah.
It's like, here's
nothing, but nothing like.
Yeah, here's a Build-A-Figure of Odin, and here's a Hulkbuster Iron Man.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing that figure collectors went nuts for was the Mezco did the. Basically, the shrunken down Hot Toys version of like the Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah,
that had like the clothing and now.
Yeah, you had them up on the shelf here. They were awesome.
Yeah, I have them. I have them boxed now to take care of them, and they were really interesting. But again, they were so expensive. It was like a $65 6-inch figure.
Yeah,
and I know prices just keep going up and up and up. But you know, this is 10-15 years ago, but we used to pay $7 for the original Marvel Legends and Lord of the Rings, and we $15 for DC Direct, and now we're paying $30 and $65. There's not so much you can collect. But even those, like the Marvel Legends waves I got, each one of those, I was like, yeah, these are great. All right, put them in the bin.
Yeah.
Put them away. But there hasn't been that much that I've been going back to and going back to. I don't know that I bought really many Hot Toys. I ended up getting the Arkham City Batman.
Yeah, that's the only really one I remember seeing new this year.
Very cheap on eBay. I think that might have been the only thing I got in 2015, because the Batman Armory, I think, was 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, I don't know, is this like a waystation year?
It's like, it seems like it's very transitional. You know, I think at the store, the best-selling thing we had in the novelty area was the Batmobile. We sold like...
The animated series?
Yeah, we sold like 15 or 16 of them, I want to say, and we still have
that's
maybe one left.
That's $100.
It's very
item,
expensive,
yeah.
So we had originally gotten, I think, 14 of them in, split them up between the three stores, sold them all, got three more in, sold those three, got three more in, sold one. We might have sold the last two, but I know there's at least one at LaGrange still, so at the most we would have sold one more one. But that was the one where it was kind of, we knew was going to be our hot item this year.
Right, and it's great for Christmas.
Oh, it's perfect. Came out right at the perfect time of year, and like I said, we sold so many of them as gifts. That's probably our biggest selling novelty item that was kind of like made the big splash. But other than that, you know, the Batman figures kept continuing to be probably our best selling line of figures. Nothing really else came out this year. You know,
we had the DC Icons, but they ended up being very small.
Yeah, much smaller scale. And I haven't heard any complaints about them really, except
mine
the
broke.
One that you bought that broke.
Yeah, I bought a Batman and he broke within a week. And
yeah.
And I was just like, eh. And, see, the line's already expanded really quickly. There's Green
They've
Lantern
got tons
and Flash
of them out
and Mr.
Right
Miracle and Green Arrow. And,
yeah.
It expanded really, really fast. But I was just like, after the first one, which was Batman, broke on me. And it's not the fact that they were small. There are people that are scale Nazis of, you know, Chewbacca has to be this much taller than Han Solo. And you know. And
well, these are noticeably smaller than any other line of figures you have.
They're clearly not in the same line.
I mean, Batman would look like a little child standing next to like, the animated series Batman.
He doesn't even look like a little child. He just looks like he's not in that line at all. So it's like, all right, I could rebuild all of this again. And I have bin upon bin upon bin of like the Mattel DC Universe. And,
right.
and the Bruce Timm animated and the movies, but it's just not, not worth it. And that was the big launch, because at Toy Fair this year, they were like, animated figures
and the
DC icons.
Icons.
That's what we're doing. And then a little bit more of like Capullo, and then like a Jay Lee line and a Terry Dodson Teen Titans line. But yeah, nothing. Yeah, it's just been a year of like, and I feel bad. I feel like I keep going back to it, hoping that, oh my God, we forgot about
this thing.
And this was the incredible thing. But I actually looked over all of our shows.
Yeah, and there wasn't. There wasn't really anything I saw. I mean, we did the reviews of the movies and the we covered the big events.
We had a fun year. We had four remote podcasts this year, which was a record. We did like three conventions.
It's the busiest our show's ever been.
Yeah, I did two conventions, a seminar, and then like an open night at a bar.
Yes.
So that was great, and we're looking forward to more of them. We have some stuff scheduled already for 2016. You know what? And maybe that's a good segue, since we're close to the end of the hour, and then we're at the end of 2015. What are you looking forward to in 2016?
Captain America Civil War is probably the thing I'm looking forward to the most, but I think a lot of that's tricky. I have hope, because it's the same team that did Winter Soldier, that it'll be good. I don't really like the idea of them doing Civil War in the movie, but I'm hoping they'll be able to figure out how to make it good. That's my big hope. And then I kind of want the companies to get away from events every year. It's like, you know, I'd like to see, you know, the comic book companies start to just do books that continue, and we don't get relaunched and new creative teams every 6 months. And then I think as far as hardcover collections, it's long, long, long overdue. And I know you've got them in hardcover, but the Mark Waid, Rowingo Fantastic Four omnibus.
Those are beautiful.
What are we waiting for, guys?
It could be one. I have the oversized hardcover as one.
How many volumes do you got there?
Three, and they're thin.
Yeah, you could do that in one volume.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Yeah. That I'd like. That's like kind of like my big go-to missing link omnibus, where it's like, all right, I've got Busiek and Perez's Avengers. That's kind of the next one I'd like to see, is Waid and Rowingo's Fantastic Four.
The one thing I'd really like to see is an absolute Batman Black Glove. Because that would complete the Grant Morrison run in absolute.
Yeah, that'd be the whole
absolute Batman and Robin and an absolute Batman Incorporated.
Yeah.
And that's a run worth the big
oversized collection. Treatment.
Yeah, I know, as I said, I'm looking forward to I'd like to fill the holes in Uncanny X-Men, and we're getting an X-Men Omnibus Volume 3. But that mid-80s, because like once we get to Mutant Massacre, they kind of take over into crossovers.
Yeah.
And that runs to the mid-90s, to the late-90s. So I'd like to see that. I'm really looking forward to Deadpool.
The movie?
Yeah.
It
looks fun. I know you hate the character, but it looks fun.
Well, I mean, we'll do a podcast on it.
It looks fun and bloody. It looks kind of like a dread. I'm feeling very not great about Batman versus Superman.
I think that's going to be a bit of a stinker.
I think so, too.
And I don't want it to be. I want it to be good. But no, you know, I can't help but think.
I love Batman. I went to Batman and Robin. You know, I go to Batman movies, and it just feels like it's going to be a chore.
Yeah. That'll probably be one of the big upsets
of the
year.
Civil War is going to be good. We'll get another Star Wars. Apocalypse will be next year.
Yeah, I like those movies. The X-Men movies, they always manage to do decent X-Men movies.
They've gotten back on track, but there's not one I love.
Yeah, there's not just a one. I mean, X-Men 2, maybe. I did like First Class a lot. But they're always like, well, they're good, but they're not phenomenal. Like, it's never...
Back to our theme of, pretty good.
Yeah.
The way I feel about the X-Men movies is I always feel when I walk out of them, except for the bad ones like Wolverine Origins and X-Men 3. I always walk out going, they did a good job.
They tried.
But it's like, I feel like they succeeded.
Yeah.
But I'm never super excited to like watch the DVDs again.
Yeah.
I'm always like, I'll watch. Like, even I got the Rogue Cut a few weeks ago, and I enjoyed it. In fact, I enjoyed it more than the movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't as good as the Wolverine director's cut, because I feel like the director's cut of The Wolverine saves that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because that movie's pretty good, but there's some glaring holes, and the director's cut solves them. Days of Future Past was a decent movie, and it's still a decent movie, but what they added in was really cool. And I was surprised, because It's called the Rogue Cut because Anna Paquin had a fairly decent role in it.
Yeah.
Is that there's a whole subplot where when Kitty's injured, in the movie, she just kind of soldiers on.
Yeah.
And in the extended cut, she's actually so injured that they have to get Rogue to absorb her powers and take over.
Right.
And I guess this is minor spoilers, so you can turn it off now if you haven't watched a DVD that's been out for 6 months. But she is being held prisoner by Sentinels in Xavier's mansion.
And like Magneto and Iceman go to rescue her.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's I don't care for Anna Paquin, so I was like, great, here's extended scenes of a character you don't give a shit about.
Yeah, I've always liked Rogue from the books, and Anna Paquin, I saw her once in person, and she was gorgeous, and she looked at me as if I was an insect. But I was surprised by how intense the action scene was. I figured the scene was just, let's go get Rogue.
Well, we got her.
Or we have to talk to her and convince her to show up.
Yeah.
But there was like...
Substantial effects.
There are genuine scares. Like, I jumped a couple of times.
Yeah.
From like the Sentinels chasing. I was like, oh, this is
well,
actually...
Well, doesn't... And this is spoilery. Acting. Doesn't Iceman get murdered in that scene?
Yeah, but I mean, everybody gets murdered in Days
Well, and eventually
past.
Everyone gets
but,
murdered.
Yeah, I think
he dies in that scene.
I think
scene.
They say... Yeah, they say in the... In the commentary that they quickly did a reshoot of like him dying with everybody else. But yeah, again, interesting. But one of those, and you know what, the last, we're at an hour, but going back to this pretty good. I mean, we got a new Dark Knight Returns series and we got a Batman Jim Lee series that he's been working on for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I'm in issue two of both of them and I'm like, pretty good.
Neither one of them really jumped out at me.
They don't stink.
Yeah,
and like that's 2015, a year of not stinking,
well, sold out,
just not trying hard enough.
Yeah, not breaking any boundaries.
Yeah, so we'll see about 2016.
Yeah, the way it could go terribly, terribly, terribly wrong is Donald Trump gets elected.
I don't even want to think about that.
That'll be the worst it could get. I'd imagine
it'll be huge. Well, you can follow me and Out of My Book on Twitter. That is the official Kevin and Comics Twitter feed. You can like us on Facebook. That's where we post all the news that's happening. Trailers posted something today, I believe, about Doctor Who.
Oh,
and and you can listen to us on Stitcher or iTunes. Or if you go to caffeinatedcomics.blogspot.com, you can find the archive of all 151 episodes.
Ooh, 151.
The new 151.
151.
Dan DiDio would be like, this is new 151.
151.
Nightwing.
Did you kill Nightwing? No.
Oh, can you turn him into James Bond then? Just do that.
Yeah, that's another.
That could be a whole show. And Stephen?
I am at 19 South LaGrange Road in LaGrange, Illinois.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Thank